Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
This is LBC London News.
Very good afternoon to you. 23 minutes past five right now. And some breaking news for you. Police in the Chicago suburb of Willamette says the singer Sinead O'Connor has been missing since early yesterday. We're going live to Washington now, and our correspondent Simon Marks joins me. Good afternoon to you, Simon.
Hello, Chris.
So some breaking news this evening then.
Yes, absolutely. This has just broken in the last 5 or 6 minutes. The police in the Chicago suburb of Willamette put out a statement saying that Sinead O'Connor is now considered a missing person. She went apparently on a bicycle ride at 6 o'clock in the morning local time on Sunday and has not been seen since then. The police say that a caller to the Willamette police indicated that they were concerned for Sinead O'Connor. Safety. And there are some reports here that suggest the police in that Chicago suburb are considering her a possible suicide risk. They are now seeking any information from the public that they can about the whereabouts of the Irish singer, who of course has battled publicly mental illness for many, many years. I'm not clear what she was doing in that Chicago suburb, but certainly a major operation now underway by police there to try and locate her and find her and make sure that she is in a place of safety.
And of course, we'll keep you up to date with any breaking news in that with that story in particular. Sinead O'Connor reported missing by Chicago police. But I want to talk to you about some other stories, certainly affecting things on both sides of the Atlantic, Simon. Donald Trump saying that if he's elected US president, it doesn't look like he's going to have a productive relationship with Prime Minister David Cameron. He's speaking on ITV Good Morning Britain, saying that he will not forget criticisms of him levelled by Sadiq Khan, the new mayor of London. So, Simon, this really was vintage Donald Trump, but are his comments on the so-called special relationship between Britain and the US raising any eyebrows on that side of the Atlantic as well?
Well, I think they are, Chris, because, you know, the special relationship is much vaunted here in the United States. It's a matter of some pride for every single president that arrives in the White House, whatever their particular philosophical and political viewpoint. So it is quite extraordinary to hear one of the candidates, a leading candidate for America's highest office, saying that his relationship with David Cameron is so poor that it may actually threaten that special relationship between London and Washington. As you said, Donald Trump was asked about David Cameron's comments last year that he viewed Donald Trump's policies as stupid, divisive and wrong. Here is the exchange that Mr. Trump had with Piers Morgan on Good Morning Britain.
Honestly, I don't care. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's fine.
But if you're president and he's the British Prime Minister,
it looks like we're not going to have a very good relationship. Who knows? I hope to have a good relationship with him. But it sounds like he's not willing to address the problem either.
Would you like David
when
Cameron,
it was brought up,
would you like him to withdraw the comments that you're stupid, divisive and wrong with your view about Muslims?
Well, number one, I'm not stupid. OK, I can tell you that right now. Just the opposite.
So we've got that clear. Donald Trump definitely does not consider himself to be stupid, and he's willing to make that clear abundantly to any interviewer that raises the issue with him and perhaps put the US relationship with Britain on the line as a result.
Now, let's talk about the Republican leader's tussle with our new mayor of London, Sadiq Khan. It's getting into its second week, isn't it? Almost round two.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's partly, of course, because Piers Morgan had the opportunity to interview Donald Trump on ITV about all of this morning. But this game of ping pong between Donald Trump and Sadiq Khan shows no sign of ending. Donald Trump said in that interview that he won't forget the fact that Sadiq Khan had accused him of being ignorant. And he reiterated that as far as he was concerned, Sadiq Khan could be an exception to the rule that Donald Trump plans to impose here, namely barring America's borders to Muslims. So what did Sadiq Khan have to say about the idea that he might be an exception? Well, he had a chat with our friend LBC's Tom Swarbrick.
I'm not exceptional. What about my friends and family? What about Londoners who are business people, men and women, who want to do business in America who happen to be Muslim? What about Londoners who want to go and study in America who happen to be Muslim? What about Londoners who want to go on holiday in America who happen to be Muslim? He's stopping them from going.
So the ball now back in Donald Trump's court. And let's remember that just last week, when he was trying to woo senior Republican figures here in Washington who are very worried about Donald Trump and his ideological ideas, at that point he was suggesting that this ban on Muslims was just a suggestion. It was just an idea, something everybody could talk about. But in that interview and with his comments about Sadiq Khan, he seemed once again to be very committed to it.
So beyond all of that, Simon, Donald Trump also dealing with allegations that he's mistreated women, both in and out of the workplace. How is Mr. Trump reacting to all of that?
Well, this has been an extraordinary 24 hours following the publication in Sunday's New York Times of an article raising questions about the way in which Donald Trump had dealt with women in the workplace and also women that he had dated over the years. The New York Times article, I have to say, was witheringly critical of Donald Trump, who immediately insisted that it was nothing more than a newspaper hatchet job. And coming to his aid over the last few hours is one of his former girlfriends, who was not just quoted in the article, but in many ways the article's main character. Her name is Roanne Brewer Lane. She is ubiquitous on American television here over the last few hours, insisting that she was misquoted and treated unfairly by the New York Times. Here's what she had to say on the Fox News Channel a short while ago.
They told me several times, and my manager several times, that it would not be a hit piece, and that my story would come across the way that I was telling it, and honestly, and it absolutely was not.
So Donald Trump says that is proof of the fact that the New York Times was simply determined to try and engage in a piece of gotcha journalism. The Times is defending the article, but I have to say that I think the interviews that she's giving here today have definitely put the New York Times and its correspondents on the back foot.
Simon, we're hearing a lot from Trump. What's going on with Hillary Clinton on the other side of the coin?
Yeah. No, I mean, Hillary Clinton had a very difficult few days herself following the publication of an article in another New York newspaper late last week, raising questions about some financial transactions that had been carried out by the Clinton Foundation to support a business promoted by a woman who is described as being very personally close to Bill Clinton. She's also facing these ongoing investigations by the FBI and the Department of Justice into her use of a private email server when she was Secretary of State. She insists that the FBI have not yet asked for an interview with her, but it's believed that that request is in the pipeline. So, you know, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, both presidential candidates who have an enormous number of negatives dragging them down, even as they both try to accentuate the positive.
And just finally, briefly, Simon, what's the next big date that we're looking forward to in the race for the White House?
Well, I think, to be honest, all our eyes are on July now, Chris. I mean, there are more primaries to come, but realistically, it's pretty clear that it's going to be a Trump-Clinton race. And so we're looking at the conventions in July, which take place from the 18th of July onwards, the Republicans in Cleveland, the Democrats in Philadelphia. Traditionally, those are the events where presidential candidates secure the united, full-throated backing of their political parties. It's going to be very interesting to see how Donald Trump tries to unite Republicans around him, and Hillary Clinton at the Democratic convention is almost certainly still going to have a Bernie Sanders problem.
As ever, thank you very much to our Washington correspondent Simon Marks, live from America there. We've got some breaking news for you that Simon certainly brought to our attention. Police in the US saying they're checking on the well-being of Sinead O'Connor. Officers in Chicago say the singer has been missing since early yesterday. Star reportedly went on a bike ride and hasn't been seen since. Of course, as we get more on that story, we will, of course, bring it to you.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.